Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Jeff Young. Agriculture experts call the soybean a miracle crop. It's used in thousands of products, from tofu to biofuels. Most goes to feed farm animals. The United States is the number one grower, but not for long. The soybean is booming in Brazil, where this year's harvest was a record breaker. Market analysts expect Brazil will soon be the world's leading producer. Just two generations ago, soybean farming on this scale in Brazil was unthinkable. Now, critics wonder if it's unsustainable. Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman traveled to ground zero of Brazil's soy revolution to find out.
Mato Grosso is twice as large as California, but there are only about half a dozen paved two-lane highways in the entire state. Most roads are dark red dirt and deeply rutted, like this one, carved from the plateau frontier in the center of Brazil. This is Cerrado country. In Portuguese, Cerrado means inaccessible or closed.
Here we have a typical Cerrado vegetation, which is kind of a scrub land.
Biologist Marco Lima serves as guide and driver as we travel through this remote, rugged region.
And you travel the next at least 1,200 miles going north, that's the vegetation you're going to find.
The Cerrado is a tropical savanna, a complex mosaic of vegetation, closed canopy forests, vast grasslands, and stunted, twisted trees. But looks are deceiving. Biologically, Brazil's Cerrado scrubland is the richest savanna on the planet, and today one of the most threatened. The ecosystem is home to 10,000 species of plants, half found only here. There are 200 species of mammals, and the place is a birder's paradise filled with macaws, parakeets, and vultures. And in the many Amazon River tributaries, marine life of all fin and stripe, peacock bass, pink river dolphin, and piranha. Half the year, the forest's torrential rains turn Mato Grosso's dirt roads into red rivers of mud. The rest of the year, the land bakes in the tropical sun.
The Cerrado in this native state is extremely hostile.
Phil Warnken literally wrote the book about farming in the Cerrado. The development and growth of Brazil's soybean industry is an oft-cited classic. Born and raised on a Kansas farm, Warnken was one of the first to investigate whether the ancient Cerrado could be converted from scrub savanna into cropland.
It was a wasteland. It was a giant wasteland. I first lived in Brazil in the mid-60s, and it was part of a study of the future potential of the Cerrado. The conclusion of that team that was supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, first-class blue ribbon team, the conclusion was that the Cerrado had no future for commercial agriculture. That was in the mid-60s.
Today, the sound of the BR-163 tells a different story. The BR-163 is better known as Brazil's soybean highway. The two-lane road runs from Cuiabá, the capital city in the center of Mato Grosso, 1,200 miles north to a port on the Amazon. Much of the road is unpaved and often impassable, but here it's been surfaced.
Trucks, trucks, and trucks.
Boy, they're like mosquitoes, you know?
During the soybean harvest season, 9,000 trucks a day, one every 6 seconds, pass here, hauling soy from Brazil's breadbasket to a world with a growing appetite for the oil and protein-rich bean. Since 1985, global demand for soy has doubled, and farmers in Mato Grosso have more than kept pace. Soy output here has quadrupled. In less than 40 years, Mato Grosso has undergone an agricultural revolution, the likes of which the world has never seen. The remote Cerrado, once considered an agricultural wasteland, has been converted from scrub savanna into a vast ocean of soy, corn, and cotton. It's the result of a remarkable convergence of scientific breakthroughs and sheer luck. Again, soy expert Phil Wangren.
Several things happened, and they all came together as what I guess one could call a positive, perfect storm. And from then on, soybeans have swept across the Cerrado like wildfire.
The first thing that had to happen in order to grow the miracle soybean crop in this tropical climate was the development of what you might call a magic seed. For decades, Brazilian and American scientists crossbred generations of soy plants before finally creating a seed that could thrive in the hot savanna. But the new seed also needed the right soil. The ancient Sahara soil is deep, which is great for soybean roots, but over the ages, torrential rains have worn and weathered the landscape.
Over the 50 million years, all of the soluble nutrients such as nitrogen, calcium, magnesium have long ago been washed to the sea.
The Sahara soil was too acidic and loaded with toxic aluminum. And even the new soy seed couldn't root in the poor soil. But then, says Phil Wangren, Brazil hit pay dirt.
They're just unlimited limestone there. It would last for an eternity.
Miners found vast deposits of acid-neutralizing limestone conveniently located right in the middle of Mato Grosso.
Ooh, it is dusty. Look at that. The dust is covered.
Looks like snow.
The wind, white and powdery, swirls at an open pit mine near the town of Cáceres, where a mountain of limestone was found on a hillside.
This is the primary system.
Eugenio Castingi, production manager of the mine, shows off the machinery.
That's where we crush the stones.
Workers mine 800 tons of limestone a day here. At $10 a ton, it's cheap, says the manager.
Yeah, here in the state of Mato Grosso, without the help of limestone, you wouldn't be seeing so much agricultural production around.
Limestone turned the nutritionally poor land into soil suited for soybean. The discovery transformed the Cerrado, Mato Grosso, and Phil Wangren. He founded Ag Brazil, advising investors from around the world interested in putting down roots in the dirt-cheap Cerrado. It's become what's known as Soylandia. Land speculators, squatters, and settlers also rushed in. Marching bands commemorate the founding of the city of Água Boa, Mato Grosso. 30 years ago, this was a frontier backwater. The entire county had 1,000 people. Today, the population has exploded 25-fold. Água Boa is a prosperous city boasting paved roads on the cutting edge of Brazil's future. The mayor, Mauricio Tona, says settlers cleared the land of native vegetation and forests.
Years ago, we slashed and burned the land. It wasn't a lack of environmental concern. It was just the way things were done. We had no environmental guidance from the government.
Brazil has some of the toughest environmental laws in the world, but in this vast frontier, enforcement is weak. So non-governmental organizations have helped fill the void. Greenpeace recently renegotiated a 4-year-old moratorium with international soybean traders, who agree not to buy soybeans from newly deforested land in the Amazon. The deal has largely worked there. However, just south in the Cerrado, deforestation has slowed but continues. Nearly 500,000 square miles of Mato Grosso Cerrado have been slashed and burned.
All this burned over here. See, it's all dead.
John Carter is head of an NGO that helps soy farmers preserve their forests while increasing profits. He drives us around his ranch in the remote northeast corner of Mato Grosso.
The fire blew through here. All that's our forest reserve. It's hard to tell from here, but all that burned as well.
Carter is a transplanted Texan who came to the Cerrado in the 1990s seeking his fate and fortune. He was astonished at what he found.
Fires in the U.S. you see on TV that are 1,000 acres and the world's screaming, and here you have hundreds of thousands of acres of burning, and no one says peep.
Scientists say the industrial-scale slashing and burning of the region has released trillions of tons of forest carbon into the atmosphere and disrupted the region's rain cycle. The Cerrado is drying. Grassland fires that once could be contained now burn out of control. That's why Carter, like other Cerrado farmers, is required by law to keep half his forest as reserve. So he's regrowing 2,200 acres of forest that burned down.
This is 5 kilometers or 3 miles straight line that a tractor could drive to plant soybeans here, and I'll let it come into compliance with the forest code. And that represents around $1.1 million I threw away.
Carter hopes to change the equation. His NGO, Aliança de Terra, shows farmers how to derive economic value from their standing forests. The Land Alliance helps farmers turn the carbon stored in their trees into credits companies can buy to offset their greenhouse gas emissions. Carlito Gumaris is a new member of Carter's Land Alliance.
This is the county, San José do Xingu.
In these parts, Gumaris is known as the forest destroyer. He opens a map and points to his land. 200,000 acres just south of the Amazon on the Fontoura River.
Una mais do Rio Fontoura aqui, ó.
I am on the Fontoura River.
Estamos aqui na região de desmatamento.
Yeah. That's an area of that we're heavily deforested.
The forest destroyer says his reputation is well-deserved. He cleared and cut down 100,000 acres, and he makes no apologies.
I'm going to ask a not polite question. Did you contribute to that deforestation?
Sim, eu fiz uma coisa consciente.
I did something conscious of what I was doing.
The forest destroyer now wants to be paid for keeping his remaining trees standing. There are no free lunches, he says, or breakfasts, or dinners.
O mundo não vive sem alimento.
You see, our world doesn't live without food.
Para aumentar a produtividade,
we could raise our productivity three or four times more. But the thing is, will mankind be able to pay this price?
Cerrado farmers can boost their productivity, preserve their forests, and prevent greenhouse gas emissions, but the price is expensive. Intensive agricultural techniques and advanced technologies don't come cheap, and often there are steep, unintended environmental costs and consequences.
I have to show you this. See, this was sent to me by John.
Farmer Jamar Brunier is also a member of John Carter's Alianza de Terra. The alliance sent Brunier a detailed report showing him how he can save big bucks or Brazilian reais on expensive fertilizer.
O que faz a agricultura? Passamos a fazer, né? Com a agricultura de precisão.
Here you can see what is agriculture with precision.
E daí isso nos mostra a necessidade de cada elemento.
This will show us the needs of the ground.
Em cada hectare.
Per hectare.
É. Per hectare. For example, aqui, ó, potássio.
For example, you can see the lack of potassium in this area, which is the poorest area.
Então estamos colocando a dose certa onde falta e menos onde tem já.
Now we're putting the right doses that what the ground needs, and whatever there's no need, we don't put anything.
To economize on fertilizer, prevent erosion, and keep carbon locked in the soil, Cerrado soy growers like Brunier are encouraged to use the no-till farming method. Instead of tilling the land, they leave the remnants of the previous season on the ground to enrich the soil. But bugs feast on past harvests, and no-till has led to a threefold increase in pesticide sales in just 6 years. Today, Brazil is the largest user of pesticides in the world. Professor Alexander Ultramari studies the use of agricultural pesticides at the State University of Mato Grosso. He says over the past generation, cases of cancer have doubled in Mato Grosso compared to the rest of Brazil, and birth defects have tripled.
São os mais variados.
Basically, when you talk about the cancer, what do you see? You see people especially with cancer on their digestive systems, for example, the intestines, okay? And also when you talk about malformation, at the university hospital here, we've been seeing lots of children with malformation, like born without legs, arms, hands.
Sem mão, sem braço.
Many different kinds of malformation. No legs, no arm, even brainless.
Sem cérebro.
You think it's from these agrotoxins?
Não, talvez 100% dos casos.
You know, I'm not going to say that all the 100% of the cases will be, but definitely a big, big major piece of it, yes.
Many of those cases can be found among indigenous people in the Cerrado. In 2006, members of the Xvante tribe blocked a bridge, preventing soy trucks from crossing the Rio das Mortes, the River of Death. It was a tense but peaceful one-day protest against industrial soy farmers in the area. The Xvante charged the pesticides used on soy fields were running onto tribal lands and into the River of Death. A video, Owners of the Water, documents the demonstration and damage to the environment.
Women from all Xvante communities are noticing so much pollution in the river. It's really bad. This pollution is destroying the water we use for cooking.
If the River of Death dies, say the Xvante, we all die. The Xvante aren't the only ones protesting. In 2004, China, Brazil's largest customer for soybeans, temporarily suspended shipments, charging they were contaminated with dangerous levels of banned pesticides. So once again, Brazilian farmers turned to agricultural science and the promise of a new soy seed.
To those who say it's not good for the environment, I'd say we should use biotechnology even more.
Until 2004, it was illegal to sell genetically modified soybean seed in Brazil. But today, companies like Syngenta and Monsanto advertise heavily in Mato Grosso farm country. Monsanto has engineered a seed designed to grow even when dosed with their pesticide Roundup. Monsanto calls the transgenic seed Roundup Ready and claims the pesticide is safe. Soy farmer Jamar Brunier recently switched to the new biotech seed.
Yeah.
How's it work for you? Good?
Como é que funciona? Funciona bem,
Roberto? Funciona bem. Yeah. Muito bem. Nos testes que nós fizemos...
Through research we've done, the transgenic agriculture is going to be cleaner because we're going to be using much less pesticides. So it's going to be just better.
Vamos contaminar menos nossa terra, menos nossa água, tá?
It's going to be way less contamination in the ground and in the waters, in the water systems.
The seed will cost him more.
É mais recompensado. Nós temos custo, tá? É compensado.
But you see, it will cost much cheaper because the royalties we pay to Monsanto is way cheaper than what the pesticide costs.
That's in the short term. But increasingly, soy farmers are disappointed with yields from genetically modified seeds. New superweeds that are resistant to Roundup are growing on their fields. So Monsanto has created yet another generation of biotech seed, Roundup Ready 2, which can tolerate even stronger doses of pesticide. A road grader repairs a soy highway washed out by torrential rains. Brazil is rapidly paving a path through the Cerrado frontier to its future. The government recently launched the Accelerated Growth Program. To speed soy to the market, it's spending tens of billions of dollars on new roads and freight trains. China is also paying to construct a road over the Andes to take soy from the Cerrado to ports on the Pacific. It's an ambitious, audacious program that will be needed to keep pace with Brazil's plan to increase soy production by 50% in the coming decade. Again, Phil Warnken of Ag Brazil.
Brazil has a massive, massive frontier that remains to be opened. Brazil can open more land than the United States has under production at the current time. In the future, Brazil will be the superpower of agriculture, and it already is right now. Brazil is the superpower of world agriculture.
For five centuries, colonial exploiters and New World explorers came to Brazil's Cerrado searching for lost cities of gold. But today, in the harsh frontier of Mato Grosso, it's green gold that the world seeks, fields of soybean that only seem to go on forever in what is left of the biologically richest savanna on the planet. For Living on Earth, I'm Bruce Gellerman.
Eloise Bobby Bascom helped produce our story. For pictures and more, visit our website, loe.org. Coming up, we heard about the seaweed of the Sargasso, now the story of the plastics in the Sargasso trash. That's just ahead on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.